Back here on Sacktown Sports, 1140 is Drapes in the High Flyer in the building. Two down, two to go. Been talking about the Kings and that blowout loss last night to the Clippers, 131-117. I've been maintaining, I even said it before the game yesterday, that I'm going to give the Kings a pass. No matter what happens in that game, I'm going to give them a pass because the Warriors, that game took so much out of them. Emotionally, they were exhausted. Physically, they were exhausted. Mentally, they were exhausted. It was an in-season tournament game. High Flyer even said it was like a game seven. And then to come back and have to face four Hall of Famers and the Clippers, it was a recipe for disaster. And that's what we saw last night. Hopefully, I'm not the only one that thinks that. Hopefully, our next guest agrees with me. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best players that ever laced him up. He is a defensive stopper, the ultimate two-way player that could get you on both ends.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about a multiple-time All-Star, a multiple-time Defensive Player of the Year. Gary Payton, the Glove, nicknamed the Glove, joining us here. GP, man, you're on with Kyle in the High Flyer. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys?
Good, man. Hey, Gary, they got me fired up right here, man. I'm going to start right off with what our big topic of the day was. Sacramento played the Golden State Warriors on Tuesday. GP2 is playing. Hopefully he's feeling better. I'll ask you about him coming up in a minute. They came back from 24 down, GP. They laid it on the line. Emotional game, in-season tournament. You got to win to advance. And then they got to face a well-rested Clippers team, as Jay Johnson dropped some Cypress Hill for us right there. A well-rested Clippers team with four Hall of Famers. To me, that was a schedule loss. To me, I expected the Kings to lose. I said, I'm going to give them a pass, Gary Payton. What say you? How do you feel about that?
I don't give nobody a pass. You got to come in and play. I don't care. And then let me go back to you on these Hall of Famers. They future Hall of Famers. They ain't no Hall of Famers yet. You know what I'm saying? They future Hall of Famers. So let's put that to rest already. All right? But I'm just saying, look here. Sacramento did a great job of coming back and beating the Warriors and then to be the number two seed in the end season tournament next week in Vegas. But I'm just saying, this is basketball. You know what I'm saying? And if Henry will let you know, we used to play four games in 5 nights and then try to get it in and win games. You got to win games. Don't get nobody no passes. If they got to come and go play, you know, put it all out there. That's why you got 14, 15 men on a basketball court. On a roster, I mean, everybody should play. You know what I'm saying? Get the game where you get yourself ready for the end of the year. So them guys who are already been playing and had a lot of minutes, let's try somebody on the bench to see that if we can get a reliable player that we can play with and do things like that. So I'm not into that give pass stuff or that load management. I ain't into all that, man. Whatever. You get paid to play basketball. Then play it. You know what I'm saying? Don't give nobody no excuses. And I think that Sacramento has a good basketball team where they don't have to get no excuses. They can go out there and play every night and get wins.
Now, G, you know where to love at, brother. I ain't even got to tell you that. But I'm going to come at you like this. You know, we've been talking about this back-to-back thing. You know, it seems like now, all of a sudden, people are crying. Well, the NBA shouldn't have back-to-backs. We've had back-to-backs forever. When you came into the league, we had back-to-backs. When I came into the league, we had back-to-backs. And, hey, you played against some brothers where you never did get a night off. Tell me what you think about these dudes crying about, oh, well, we can't play in back-to-backs.
Well, that's crazy, Henry. Like I just said, man, we played four games in 5 nights where we went back-to-back, had a rest, and then went back-to-back. You know what I'm saying? So go on with all that, man. I don't care nothing about that. First of all, they don't even practice anymore. You know what I'm saying? You only can be on the floor by, what, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, and then you're done. You're not doing anything. You're only playing a basketball game for 2 hours. Man, suck that mess up, man. It's just like when I be seeing about all these injuries, man. I used to play through injuries no matter what. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? They can have their era. This is their era. You know what I'm saying? And then that's what they want to do. It's basketball, man. Suck it up, man. You're getting paid too much money to be talking and crying about anything. Just play the game, man. That's what I say. I hate when people are always talking about, oh, we shouldn't have back-to-backs. Oh, we shouldn't do this. Oh, we shouldn't do that. You sure ain't talking about every first and the 15th when you're getting a big check. So start saying that. Start saying, oh, man, I shouldn't get my check. Oh, man, I shouldn't do that. I get you. I guarantee you they ain't doing that.
Now, G.
Don't make hold all that, man.
Now, G, let me ask you this. Now, we're talking about the Sacramento Kings, and I was telling KD about, you know, in order for this team to make it to that next level, the Kings are a good team. Mike Brown wants them to be a great team. And I'm telling KD, the road to being great, the road to being a champion is bumpy, bro. It's not easy. So, you know, I told him they went down 24 against Golden State. They went down 24 against the Clippers. And both of those was in the first half. I told him, I said, that's unacceptable basketball when you're trying to be great. You were on a great basketball team. Explain that to him.
Well, you know what, Henry? What you have to do is everybody got to suck it up. You can't get down 24 points and then try to build yourself way or get back into games. That's not going to happen. That's when I know that other players have to step up, like the Foxes, you know, the Monks, the Saboneses. You got to go in there and talk to your teammates and say, look here, man, we got to buckle this down. It's just got to be buckled down. We got to go out here and play hard. And I think the mindset of players sometimes is be like, well, I'm tired. I got to do this, man. And then next thing you know, teams come in here and you get down 24. You cannot be a championship team trying to come back from that type of deficit every night. It's not going to work. It's going to knock you down. It's going to drain you out. And you're not going to be able to do that all the time. So I think when they are getting that mentality. But they are young right now. They're a nice, young team. And they're going to get better and better, and they're going to start understanding how valuable that is to knock people out when they come to your arena. So people can't come into my arena and say that they can beat us. They should be scared to go in people's arena and say, man, we're going to have a tough one. And they should be out there every night. And until they find that out and realize that out, they will just be a good team. When they start being a great team, when they can go back-to-backs and start blowing people out and making people understand the fear to come into Sacramento and use them fans as their sixth man, then they'll become a great team.
On with the Hall of Famer, Gary Payton, here on The Drive, guys. GP, we've been talking, you know, just about the makeup of this Kings team. They got a lot of nice guys on this team. But we saw a team in Golden State with Draymond, and we know what happened to him with the suspension and everything. Do you also got to have not only nice guys, but you got to have a couple jerks on your team too, you know? And does it, especially in today's day and age, in today's game, do you need that kind of player on your team? For instance, real quick, GP, we look back at Charles Oakley, Tony Allen, even, you know, guys that, you know what, sort of the enforcers
right. That
protect the superstars. Do you need those kind of guys nowadays?
I think so. I think you need that type of basketball player on any basketball team. I had a guy on my team named Frank Mikowski.
Yeah.
Where I knew that whenever we got into it or somebody hit me, he would always come to me and say, man, love, don't worry about that. I got that. So when you have that type of guy on your team to enforce and always protect somebody, that is a good thing because you know people are going to come in here and say, oh, man, we ain't going to try nothing crazy or we ain't going to try nothing silly on a superstar. And, yes, you do have to have one of them guys because he's going to be a veteran. He's going to be a guy who's going to teach the other people how to play the game and then don't give them no fear when they go out there in basketball if somebody's going to hit them. And then teach them the same thing. Teach them to don't back down. Teach them to hit them. You know what I'm saying? And especially when you need one of them guys to take a tough foul or that when you know that your valuable superstar is over there getting killed, get him off of him.
Hey.
Make sure he know that when he come in there, get him off of him. Because, hey, bring him my way. I can get him off of you. And then we have got players that will be at the superstars like that. And of course, and definitely, you need a player like that on every basketball team.
Tell me this. Who was that player when you had at Patrill Hill when they locked the doors and stepped up and said, don't worry about it, this is how we going to get out?
Well, you know, you was there too, Henry. But you know, we had that dude up in the stands called Pops. We had Pops in the stands, and then we had, you know, you was always my OG. So you know what? You always was like, man, look here, man, we gonna go at these dudes, man. But we was always like that. That's how we grew up, though, Henry.
For sure.
In Oakland, so we grew up like that, man. When we didn't take no mess, and we always protected each other. Because I knew if somebody hit you, I'm going to go and knock him down too and get at him like that. So that's how we was.
NBA Hall of Famer, 9-time All-Star, NBA 75th anniversary team member, all rookie, 9 times all defensive. I could go on and on. Gary Payton joining the Drive Guys. GP, when you look at the Western Conference, you got the Warriors, obviously, Phoenix. Like, how do you see Sacramento fitting in with the Western Conference and some of these elite teams out there?
Well, you seen last year how they played, and they had home court advantage on Golden State, and they went in a tough 7-game series and lost at home and at home on game 7. Sacramento has to understand that. They got great teams here, but it has to start in the beginning of the year. They have to make a statement. You know what I'm saying? We're young. But we're going to be every night that you come play us, we're going to be at your helmet. And that's what it's got to be like. And I think this team got it because they got a leader in Brown who is giving it to them. And he's showing them. You got the young kid, Fox, that's playing very, very well. You know what I'm saying? You got a leader. You got that player. You know, the young player, Murray. These guys are good. Monk is coming off the bench doing what he does. So they got the ingredients, but I just think they need to get over that hump because they got to stop telling people, we're coming. Now we're supposed to be here. We're here now. And I think that they can fit in that 5-6 round seed, even get to a 4. You know, it depends on what's going on because you got the Clippers who is going to be there with all them great players they got. You got Phoenix, who's going to be there. You got Denver, who I think is the cream of the crop. You know what I'm saying? And then you got a veteran team in Golden State. I don't know how Golden State is going to do it because they're not gelling right now. They need another score, a second score right now. And people know that. And I think that they got to let it happen too. You know, you got a lot of good young teams in here that's going to be okay. Like the Lakers are going to be right there. So you've got 4 or 5 teams right there, and Sacramento is right there. They're sticking right there. And I think that they can surpass some of these teams if they go out and make statements right now and just play and then get a good chemistry with each other by the time playoff come, where they have fear in some of these teams. Because some of these teams don't have fear in them yet, and because they're young. Because they say, okay, if we get them in a 7-game series, we can beat them in 7 games because we'll tire them out, which happened last year. But Sacramento has to get over that hump and say, yo, we got to start winning these tough games, and we got to start being that team. And I think once they do that, a lot of teams are going to fear them, and then they're going to be in that 1-3 tier, and then it's going to be very scary.
You know, G, I want to take you back a little bit, brother. I always talk about, and I rant and rave in Sacramento about how we played basketball back in the day and the teams that we played on. But I want you to tell some of the fans here in Sacramento about our little team we had when it was me, you, Jason Kidd, Brian Shaw, Antonio Davis, and Greg Foster, how we used to get down in the back.
Henry, boy, we got some Oakland boys, man. You understand me, man? When we used to go to Patrill here in San Francisco, man, and run the summer league, man, it was nobody that could deal with us. We was probably one of the best 5-6 guys that could come out of the Oakland and get it in. Get it in just tough, man. And we was gritty. We had 5 dudes that act the same way. We had 5 dudes that would go in war with each other. We knew we had each other back. And we'll just play basketball and be the ones we be. We just be open dudes. And that's just the way we are. And it's where we grew up. And when we came there, everybody wanted to beat us, but it was very hard to beat us because if you stop one, the other one was going to get down on you. And if you get down on it, if the other one will get down on you. But if you got six killers coming at you, it's hard to beat them.
And then again, too, people always, like I said, because I always talk about you, and people ask me, like, you know what, man? Did Gary talk all that trash back when he was younger? I said, yeah. They say, well, why he always talk out the side of his mouth? I say, man, ain't nothing wrong with Gary. I say, when you see Gary talking out the side of his mouth, that's who he talking to, the other dude on the other team. I say, because 9 times out of 10, he was telling me, hey, H, go at him, dog. I'm going to send him your way. You going to come get me. I'm like, man, I say, GP was always our vocal leader. But Brian Shaw led the squad.
Yeah, B. Shaw was our guy, though, man. You know what I'm saying? But you know me. I'm just going to talk trash, and you know I'm telling you to do something, Henry. I'm going to send him your way. You do this, and I got him. That's all it was, man. And that's why I was always talking, mumbling stuff, because I'm trying to tell him, you go at his helmet that way, and I'm going to get him this way. And that's how it was.
Gary Payton, the Hall of Famer, joining us here on Sactown Sports 1140 The Drive, guys. GP, you are a member of one of my favorite teams, man. Those Sonics teams back in the mid-90s, early 90s. Tell me about just the chemistry you guys had, especially you and Sean Kemp, man. I even show my son. He's 14 years old. I still show him some of y'all highlights, man, and just the chemistry between you guys on that team.
Well, you know, when me and Sean got together, you know, Sean was drafted the year before me, and then I came in there. I think me and his chemistry started because we got close as soon as we could see each other. We started hanging out. We started doing things. And then when we started playing basketball, Sean used to always know that I was going to pressure the ball and get him steals. So he knew when I got a steal, he would just sprint. Then he started saying, woo, woo, woo. And then I started seeing that, and then I started throwing the ball up to the sky. And he would start going to get it. So then when I started seeing that, I started saying, I got me somebody here, man. Almost like what HT used to do for us when we was playing and for my father. I used to throw it up there to HT, and he used to go get it and dunk it everywhere. If everybody don't know, you know, HT used to dunk on anybody. You know what I'm saying? Him and Marcus Cotton. So they was two guys that was legit. And then I found one in the pros just like him, and I was just like, we got a chemistry unreal because everybody be like, man, how did you see him? I just know he's going to be there. It was just an instinct that way that I knew that Sean was going to be there. Hey, you think Chris Paul and Griffin them started Lob City? It's crazy. That was me and Sean Kemp. Man, Lob City was there in 1990, right, to 1997, 98.
Preach.
So don't get that twisted. We was the first Lob City ever. You know what I'm saying? So don't get that twisted.
Gary Payton, the Hall of Famer, joining us. Obviously, GP2, your son, playing for the Warriors right now. I know he's dealing with the injury. I want to go back to Tuesday's game. Did you watch that game? And what do you make of the Warriors-Kings rivalry right now?
You know, it's getting to me. It's starting to be a good one. Because as soon as Mike Brown took that job, man, down there, it was going to be a bit – for him being assistant with Golden State for many years, it was going to be a rival. And I think Brown took that job because he knew what he had. He had a good young team that was really – when you can get a point guard, then come around and get a center, then draft a guy like Murray, and then start having Monk, and then pick Monk off, you know, out of free agency, and you got all of them, then draft a Mitchell guy out of Baylor. Come on, man. You got something going on there. And he's grooming them that way. He was seeing something in Cleveland that when he had in Cleveland that he had there. And now that rival has got so big down this interstate that it's crazy. And that's what it is all about, man. It's about a rival. It's just like the 49ers against the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Dallas against Philly. It's a rivalry, man, and we keeping it good. And it's starting to be even more better because everybody is anticipating that, especially with Sacramento getting that win the other day, coming back from so much down and so much on at stake. You know, this is going to be a thing to remember for a long time, and it's going to be a rival for a long, long time.
Gary Payton joining us, the Glove. I can ask you question after question, and so I'm going to keep on going here, GP. I know you got things to do, man, and just like give me a couple more minutes here. You know, when I look at the NBA, I was talking to Ron Adams, assistant coach with the Warriors. He says the key to winning now is having two-way players. The problem is those don't grow on trees anymore. You don't see that as much anymore. You were one of the best to ever do it in terms of two-way player. What's it take to be a two-way player, and why don't we see more of it nowadays?
Because it takes mentally toughness. Because you got to understand, to be a two-way basketball player, you have to be dedicated on both ends of the floor. You see what I'm saying? So I'll take two guys like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Them two are dedicated to play defense and play on the other end of the floor and be skilled enough to do that. That's what I was. My mentality was, forget offense, because I'm going to get a lot of offense because I got the ball in my hand. Now, how many easy buckets can I get by playing defense? Now, if I rip you three and four times and get three and four layups, that's 8, 9, 10 points. That's all my offense I can do. I can get down. But then I'm going to shoot the ball 15 to 16 times. I know at least I'm going to make 8 of them shots. I'm going 50% or 40%. So what I'm saying is now my mentality is like this. Okay, I can take off one quarter and don't even have no offense. Because if I steal the ball, I'm going to at least score 6 points. So now you take 6 points each quarter. You got 24 points. You're good. But then if you go to defense and then go there and get 4 or 5 steals and make things happen and create people to take the ball away from you, my job was to be on that board in the visitor's locker room on the top of it. Then we got to get this guy out of this game. And I had that. They used to tell me, whoever Gary's guarding, put him on the other side because they know I was going to start havoc. But that's got to start with your mental. You got to say, man, forget offense. Forget that. I'm going to lock somebody down. If he's scoring 24, my purpose is to get him to score 14. If I can get him to score 14 or even struggle to be 5 for 26 or 27, I've done what I'm supposed to. Now, if I win the game by average having 27 and he has 16, I've won. We've already got 11-point advantage with a guy who was always averaging 20-something in the game, and we cut him down. We make it somebody else take that responsibility on the other side of the floor, and I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day to have somebody who has not been in that situation to try to beat us than the person who is the superstar of that team. And I took the joy of taking him out that game. And that's what I used to do every time I went to the basketball floor.
Gary Payton, the Hall of Famer, won a gold medal on that 96 team, I believe it was, GP. You know, there's a lot of talk over the years, who would have won your 96 squad versus that 92 team?
Ooh,
where
come
you,
on.
Where
come
you
on,
stand?
Man.
Where you stand on
come
that, on, GP? Where you stand on that?
Come on, dog.
But what won, we had 6 players off of the Dream Team one on our team.
Okay.
So, you know, that team was great.
That's how you educated.
I'm not going to even talk about it because, you know what, everybody was a little older. They did a little older. 4 years came by, and then we got a couple of guys. But I still think we added some good ones in Shaq, myself, Grant Hill, Penny Hardaway, and Mitch Richmond, and Reggie Miller. We added some good ones, too. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. I can't tell you who would have won, and I don't like to do that because we don't have a time machine to go back and see. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I said, we had 6 players from the Dream Team one. It would have been a good matchup, and I think we would all would have fun doing it. You know what I'm saying? I think we all would have fun doing it.
And he would have been in Michael's ear all the way down.
Oh, yeah.
All the way down.
Yeah.
And they would have gave me the job to guard Mike, so I would have been having fun, too. So it would have been good.
You know, Gary, I'm going to end it on this, man. Obviously, I'm a big fan of yours. Grew up loving your game. I also love the trash-talking side of it. You're from Oakland. I'm from Philly originally. That's just how we played every day. That was every day for us. Tell me who was the best trash talker to you, though, in the NBA. Take yourself out of it. Who are some of the guys you had memorable trash talk with?
It was 2 of them. Larry Bird and Reggie Miller. They were the best 2 trash talkers I ever seen in my life. Larry Bird was number 1. Because Larry Bird would tell you that he will take you to one spot, shoot it in your face, and if it don't go all net, it don't count, and he'll come back and do it to you again. Then when he do it, he used to be like, I got a present for you, and it'll be a jumper. He would always do that. One time he was playing against Xavier McDaniel in my rookie year. He told Xavier Daniel if he didn't get this many points on him, he would quit basketball. So they were blowing us out. They were blowing us out in the garden, and Bird was on the bench. He went over to I think it was Phil Ford or Fitz.
Chris
one
Ford?
Of them was
yeah,
coaching
yeah, yeah.
Fitz. Yeah, one of them was coaching the team. He told him to sub him back in the game because he hadn't gave Xavier McDaniel the points he told him he was going to give him.
He gave him no smoke.
Man, he gave him smoke, man. Larry Bird was cold, man. I don't care what nobody say about all this comparing and power forward. Nobody can stop Larry Bird. I don't care what nobody say. He was one of the coldest forwards I ever seen play the game, and he used to tell you where he going to do it. And I had the fortune to play against him for 2 years. He was ailing during this time, but even the things I seen when he was ailing with his back was unreal.
Mm, told you,
Larry
KD.
Bird.
AG, I told Larry him the exact Bird. Same thing. I said, LB was the biggest trash talker of all time.
And he backed
what?
It up, too.
And backed it up.
Hey, what? He'll give you 30 when he wanted to. I'm just trying to tell y'all, man. He would tell you he's going to give you 30. I'm just trying to tell y'all, man. And he would tell you if his jump shot hit the rim, it wouldn't even count to him. He's going to come right back and shoot it again on you. I was like, man, that's cold. I was like, dude, you cold. You know what I'm saying? So that was some stuff that, man, you remember, that's why him and Magic had so much of a rivalry, because he knew Magic was going to give him a challenge the same way.
Mm. Gary Payton. Senior, the Hall of Famer. Quickly, GP2, how's he doing? He good?
He going to be okay, man. You know, he tore his calf muscle. It is what it is, man. You know, injuries come with this, man. I just think that he's got to get in the lab, get himself back healthy, get back in about a month or two. You know what I'm saying? I think it shouldn't take him no longer than 4 to 6 weeks. That's on him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's my son. I think he got that toughness in him. I think he wants to be out there. It's hurting him right now that he's getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I hate to see my son always getting hurt, but that's just the way he plays. You know, he plays that way. He plays gritty and grindy. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way it is. But I think this is something that he'll overcome. I mean, he got about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. He'll be back. He'll be back, and I think Golden State needs to just hold the fort until he gets back, until you can get that grit and that grind out of him to come back. And then when he gets back, I hope he gets back real quickly and get in the flow of the game. They'll go to State try to make a push for the playoffs.
Cool, I tell you what, when he went out, that's when that Kings game changed.
Changed the game, bro.
Yeah, he was causing havoc against the Kings. Gary Payton, Hall of Famer, man. Appreciate you jumping on with us, man.
Always a pleasure, man. Anytime y'all need me, man, you know, HC know what's going on. That's family, man. That's like big bro. Y'all just call me, man. We can come and chat it up again.
Cool, right. Dog. We're banging your line, man. Tell nephew I say hurry up.
I will. I tell him, man. I'll see him tonight, man. I'm going to the game. So right. I'll go and see him and check him out tonight.
Yep.
He'll be on the sideline. I'll talk to him afterwards.
Yep.
All right, Gary Payton, thanks so much. NBA 75th anniversary team, the glove. This guy was one of the original two-way players in the NBA. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk a little NFL. That's right, Niners fans. I've been waiting to go at you guys. Niners-Eagles this week. We got Hub Arkush, our guy, coming up next here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports, 1140.
Bang, bang, Niners.
The showdown.
Welcome back here on Sactown Sports. 1140. Drapes and the High Flyer here as we get you ready for the big game Sunday. You know what I was doing yesterday, High Flyer?
What's that, man?
I started Googling. I was like, is there a Philadelphia Eagles bar in Sacramento?
A bar?
Yeah, you know how the Eagles fans are. Yeah, because I need to be around my people on Sunday.
Well, you might want to get on the plane, bro. Because I keep telling you, this here is Niner Gang, man.
I'm just saying, we got one bar, though,
okay.
And I might slide on through. Let's
wait. Is it here?
It's in Sac.
I'm about to say, because you can start one in your garage.
You know what? And don't let us win, because I'm flying the Eagles flag outside. Like,
bro,
what?
I already know. I already know. I'm gonna probably have to wear an Eagle jersey or something like that.
Yeah.
Or at least the colors.
Hey, let's bring in our very special guest, man, as we get you ready for Niners-Eagles big Sunday football game. Hub Arcus here. He's sideline reporter for Westwood One, NFL insider at 670 The Score, executive editor, Pro Football Weekly. Hub, appreciate you jumping on, man. You're on with Kyle and Henry, the High Flyer Turner. First of all, let's talk about Sunday's game, man. You know, a lot of talk about it, a lot of hype about it. The Eagles come in 10-1, getting W's, but not looking good. What's the path for San Francisco to get this W on Sunday?
Well, you know, the path always, guys, is to play your game. And the bottom line is that, to me, the 49ers are really the more confusing of the teams through 5 weeks. I thought they were the best team in the NFC, maybe in the NFL, and then they disappeared for 3 weeks and can't really explain what happened. Then they bounced back, and for the last 3 weeks, they've looked like that best team again. The team that took that spot from them during that three-game losing streak was the Eagles. They have the best record in the league at 10-1. And so at this point, this one sets up as the game of the week. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, the Eagles would have been an easy pick. But at this point, with a couple days left, I'm just not really sure which way to lean on this one. Because I think that the 49ers are probably slightly more talented among the two most talented teams in the league. But the Eagles find a way to win. The 49ers have had a stretch where they found a way to lose. And so that concerns me a little bit. But certainly excited about Sunday. I think it's going to be a great football game.
You know, me and Katie was talking about this the other day about these two teams. And I always said that the Eagles had a great offense, but I always thought that the 49ers had the better package offensively and defensively.
Well, it's fair. I mean, they are, as I just said, I think probably the two most talented teams in the NFL this season. And, you know, when you study the stats, and stats can be misleading sometimes, but they do, you know, help you have an understanding of what you're looking at. They are the two most complete teams in the NFL. They are very similar. It's hard to pick one over the other based strictly on stats and, you know, players, individual statistics and that type of thing. But at the end of the day, I can't really find a weakness on either team. There is one area where the Eagles are really struggling this year, and that's in pass defense. And you don't want to struggle in pass defense against a guy who's been the number one rated quarterback in the NFL all season long.
No, you're right about that. That might be the matchup we're looking at. Hub Arcus here joining us on the Drive, guys. Hub, when I look at the 49ers, I'm from Philadelphia, Hub, so I'm going to just put that out there just so you know. I'm an Eagles guy. When I look at the Niners and I look at their wins, not a lot of close games. A lot of games in which they get up early and then they just steamroll opponents. Conversely, when you look at the Eagles, they've had to get it out of the mud. They've had to grind it out. They've had to come back. If you're a Niners fan, should you be concerned that your team hasn't won one of those gritty, hard-fought games? Or conversely, if you're an Eagles fan, it's like, man, all these games are close. When are we going to get a blowout? How should these fan bases feel about where their teams are at?
You know, guys, at the end of the day, a W is a W. So I don't think those factors really matter all that much. What I would take, you know, some satisfaction in, if I'm an Eagles fan, is the fact that, I already said it, the Eagles find ways to win. They do it better than anybody else in the NFL, and that's what you want from your football team. Now, the flip side of that is that the 49ers have arguably been the most dominant team in the NFL, except for that 3 weeks that they took off, and 49ers fans should feel great about that because that may be even better from finding ways to win. So at the end of the day, it comes back to the same thing. Even though the records are a little different, you've got, I think, two very evenly matched teams. The thing that's a little surprising to me, guys, I don't bet because I hate the losing more than I enjoy the winning, but we pay attention to these numbers. I can't believe that the 49ers are the favorite in Philadelphia. They are. It was 3.5 the last time I looked. I don't understand that. You know, I think that the Eagles, based on what these two teams have done this season, should be favored, you know, by at least a couple of points, maybe not all three, which would make it pretty much an even game for the home team. But that part is a little surprising to me. But, you know, again, that's based on fan feeling and information. It's not necessarily based on knowledge or scouts or GMs or anything like that. So I wouldn't make too much of it. But to me, it's the biggest surprise of this game, the fact that the 49ers are going to Philadelphia and that they're favored.
You know what, Hub? I want to ask you this. You know, 49ers got their guy, Brock Purdy. Philly got Hurst. Both of these guys are pretty much in the MVP chase. But if you had to put these guys head-to-head, throw-to-throw, what would it look like?
Well, they're similar quarterbacks in terms of the style that they play, you know, and I think they do a lot of the same things. I think that Purdy has done a little better job of avoiding mistakes so far this year than the Eagles have. But at the end of the day, the way they're playing, they're pretty evenly balanced. Again, the one thing that's unusual with Philadelphia this year is that bad pass defense and the fact that they're not very impressive turnover takeaway, and the 49ers are the best in the league, and that is right. A big edge for the 49ers. So, you know, if I had to pick one or the other, I think at this point, you know, the Eagles QB still has a little bit more, you know, great moments, a little bit more production than Purdy. Purdy will get there. He's going in that direction. But in this situation, because of their experience, you know, I probably have to lean Eagles a little bit.
Hub Arcus joining us, executive editor, Pro Football Weekly, sideline reporter for Westwood One, and NFL insider at 670 to score. Hub, big news today out of Jets camp. Aaron Rodgers seen taking snaps, and here we are, what, 11 weeks removed from, you know, an Achilles injury. What do you make of what we're seeing from Aaron Rodgers, and might he really try to play this season?
Well, yeah, he might. He clearly wants to. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this or not, but I had a moment with Aaron a couple of years ago. And so I have to be very, very careful in anything I say about Aaron Rodgers. But he is certainly one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He is definitely going to the Hall of Fame. There's no changing that. But he is a different kind of guy, you know, as far as his own personal feelings about himself and his teams and you know, the stuff he does off the field. And so you don't know what to make of it. I don't understand what the upside is here in him trying to come back literally 3 to 4 months sooner than anybody has before from that injury to play one or two games when the Jets clearly aren't going anywhere this season. And he's 40 years old. You know, I think he can do himself a lot more damage than he can do good. And I'm not sure what he's trying to prove. And I think what's the most interesting about this is at the end of the day, is this going to be his decision or is this going to be Salah's decision? Because if Salah decides, he has to know it's not best for anybody for Rodgers to try and come back too soon. So, you know, I'm not criticizing him for it. It's just, you know, Aaron Rodgers is entitled to do whatever he wants with Aaron Rodgers. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me unless what he's thinking is that there's still time to get to the playoffs. And then once you get to the playoffs, it's a fresh start. And I understand that. But I think from what we've seen of the Jets the last few weeks, regardless of whether Rodgers plays or not, they're not going to the playoffs. So I don't really understand what the point would be in him trying to play 3 or 4 months and take serious risks to his future, if there is a future at the age of 41 next year.
You're right, Hub. But you know as well as I do, if Aaron Rodgers wants to play, I don't think anything Robert Saleh could do, really. Let's be honest. Aaron Rodgers seems to be the most powerful man in that organization. And so we'll see how it plays out, obviously, you know, as the season winds on. I do want to end it, though, by asking you about Zach Ertz, the Arizona Cardinals releasing him. Might a return to Philly be in the cards? They're in the need right now for a tight end with Dallas Goedert hurt. What are you hearing about Zach Ertz?
Well, I'm hearing from a lot of, you know, NFL media types and other folks that there is a real chance it would make sense, you know, for various reasons. And there's very little to lose. You know, it can't hurt. So I don't think anybody will be surprised if they sign him. You know, I don't know. You know, there's a reason he's available. So I'm not sure that he's going to be an instant, you know, help to them. But it obviously would make sense at this point.
Hub Arcus joining us here on The Drive, guys. Hub, appreciate you and everything you do. Thanks for shedding some light as this big game approaches between the Niners and the Eagles. Thanks so much, Hub.
Thanks for having me, guys. I hope it's a good time on Sunday for everybody.
Yeah, it should be fun. All right, it should be fun. A lot of trash talking, obviously, between both fan bases coming up next. We continue to take your phone calls, 916-339-1140. We talk about the Sacramento Kings lost last night to the Clippers, and might the Clippers actually be for real this year, High Flyer? I'm going to ask you that question next here on Sactown Sports 1140. Sactown Sports 1140 rolling on, my guy High Flyer. hanging out on the drive, guys. If I haven't said it before, man, let me say it again. I appreciate you getting the glove, Gary Payton, on our air. That's one of the best interviews since I've been here and since I've been in Sacramento, bro. You know, that's a legend.
That's my dude, man. Me and Gary, we go back to the sandbox. His dad, bro, Mr. Payton, Al Payton, was very special to me. Mm. Al Payton was like my dad. You know, it was one of those things to where he took a bunch of little nappy-headed inner-city kids, man, and he really cared about us. He nurtured us. The Payton household was the place to be, bro. If you played basketball, Gary's house was the place to be because Al Payton invited us all, you know, and it just wasn't about basketball, man. When he got me to play on his team as a young elementary school kid, he came to my house and he sat on the porch with my mom and said, I want your son to play with my son. Mm. He said, but I promise you that he will get his homework done. He will have his grades up to par, because if he don't, I won't be picking him up and he won't be playing for my team.
That's Gary Payton's dad.
That was his dad.
His dad.
He sat on my porch and told my grandma that in order to get me to play. So, you know, it was the place to be. It was fun. We loved it. But, man, he cared about us as young men. You know, we were boys, but he nurtured us, dude, all the way until we were men. And he taught us, don't back down, don't be scared. We have always been with a thumb down on us just because we're where we were from.
Right.
And when we all got together, he didn't care, man. I mean, he was like, you know, I can give you, for instance, he took us to Phoenix, AAU tournament. I think I had to be in eighth grade that particular time because I think Gary was in the sixth grade.
Yeah.
I was just started dunking the basketball. Just started dunking it, right? And I'm hyped. I'm the only dude on the team dunking. So we go to Phoenix, and we play that first game. We winning, but I didn't try to dunk the basketball three times in a row, and I missed all three.
In a game.
Ooh. I missed all three. We get a steal, like Gary does. That's what he do. Get a steal. He throw me the basketball. I go up, and I lay the ball up, and I score two.
Wow.
His daddy called timeout.
You made the layup, though. You made the layup.
His daddy called timeout and brought us to the bench. He grabbed me around my collar. He said, son, who are you? He said, are you a dunker? Can you dunk the ball? And I say, yeah. He said, I don't care if you miss every last one. If that's what you do and that's who you are, you do it every single
time.
Get
out of here.
Man,
wow.
Bro, I love that dude. He was just like my dad. Loved him.
High flyer, Henry Turner. How'd you get the nickname anyway? I know, but who gave it to you?
Jim Cozamore.
Get out of here. Okay.
Jim Cozamore.
Okay, yeah.
When I was in the CBA.
Okay.
I had just got let go from Seattle. I was with the Sonics.
Yeah.
Got let go by Seattle, and I went to Rochester Flyers. He was in Wisconsin. So
La Crosse, Wisconsin?
Yeah.
He was with
Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go up there to play, and he was interviewing me, and you know, he was like, Hank, he was like, but you get off the ground. You a high flyer. And then when he started the interview, he was like, I'm here with Hank the High Flyer from the Rochester Royals.
And then bam.
It stuck.
Damn.
It stuck. And then Danny Ainge took it to a whole nother level when I got to Sacramento. Okay. And then Danny was with us. And when I first met Danny, he was like, yo, Rook, what's your name? I said, my name is Henry. He said, Henry? He said, nah, we ain't calling you that. We're going to call you Hank. And I started laughing. I said, Jim calls me that. And he was like, Jim said, yeah, Hank the High Flyer. And it stuck. From then on, it was Hank. Hank the High Flyer.
Yep. Man, that's good stuff right there. 916-339-1140. Kings lost last night to the Clippers. Let me ask you, from what you saw from the Clippers last night, they've won 5 out of 7 right now.
Okay.
Are they figuring it out? Are they legit in the Western Conference?
They're finding something. And, you know, and it's funny that you asked that because, like, I had a chance to talk to Brian Shaw, and I asked him straight out. You know, I text B. We talk all the time. All of us are in this real tight net.
Yeah.
I still talk to B. Shaw. I still talk to Gary. I still talk to Jason Kidd. We text all the time. So I asked B. I said, B, is it going to work? bro, are you going to be able to make that work? And he was like, these guys are so talented. He said, the only problem that we have is that each and every last one is going to have to put his ego to the side and put the team first. He said, as far as playing, they got it. They got it. Every last one of those guys can put a team on their back and carry a team by themselves. He said, man, we got four dudes that can do that. He said, when was the last time you seen a basketball team? Probably you have to go all the way back to the Showtime Lakers.
Lakers, yeah.
To say each and every last one of those dudes can put a team on their back and carry them.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, but he said the ego. That's the biggest thing in the room right now is the ego. Each and every last one of those dudes is going to have to put that aside and put the betterment of the team first.
Because I could argue with you. I look at the early 2000s Lakers, after Kobe, Shaq, where then they added Karl Malone, Gary Payton.
Didn't work.
That didn't work. That was some names.
For one,
that was four Hall of Famers.
Yes. Number one, Karl got hurt. I thought it was going to work. Until Carl got hurt. When Carl got hurt, it was over with. But still, it's that thing of you have to put the team first. You got all of these. You know, Gary called them future Hall of Famers. Yeah, they are. But I'll tell you what. All of them is going to be first ballot.
Yes.
They're going right in. It's not going to be a question about it. And you got all of those guys on the exact same team. And they're pretty much in their prime. You know, I don't look at any one of those players say, well, he's over the hump. Even though Russell Westbrook, man. that's all you can do about Russ. You have to laugh.
You just gotta laugh.
But I'll tell you what. He's still one of the most explosive guards we have in the league.
Yes.
This dude, you know, he might not always do the right thing. It's going to be some bonehead moves out there. He's going to throw the ball up in the third row. But you will never have to question if he's going to give you 100%.
That effort's going to be there. The work ethic, the effort, all that's going to be there.
It's going to be there. I'd much rather have to tone a guy down than to have to go to him and rev him up.
Yep, 100%. All right, we got much more with Hank the High Flyer coming up in just a little bit. Should we give the Kings a pass for last night? It's your chance to weigh in as you drive home right now. You're listening to The Drive, guys, here on Sactown Sports 1140.